Well, we finished Luke's Gospel according to Luke. So now I want you to look in the Old Testament over the next few days. Hopefully we will go through the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. I'll give you a moment to find that. I want to remind you that my offer still stands, though you can only take advantage of it one time. You can't come to me time after time wanting more ice cream. But I will buy a deluxe ice cream sundae for anybody who can say all the books of the Bible in one breath. Okay? The reason for that is because once you can say them all in one breath, you will never forget the books of the Bible. And knowing the books of the Bible makes it much easier to find your way through the scriptures without having to use the table of contents. Now, using the table of contents is fine, but it's nice when you just know where things are. So I would encourage you, if you need caloric motivation, to consider the fact that you can get a wonderful deluxe ice cream sundae by saying all the books of the Bible in one breath. All right? We are in Jonah. Chapter 1, this is God's Word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Oh, I like this story. I like this story. I've heard this story. When I was young, I heard this story. I like this story a lot. Of course, you don't believe it's really true, do you? I mean, the idea of a man being swallowed by a whale and and being in there 3 days and three nights and then coming out of it alive. You don't really believe that, do you? I mean, I know, I can tell you're an educated man and you seem intelligent, and so I assume you regard this as one of the old Hebrew fables, right? No, I regard this as history. This is God's Word. But, I mean, do you really believe that a person could live inside of a whale for 3 days? Well, he could if God wanted him to. It's not a problem. And it doesn't say it's a whale. It says it was a great fish prepared by God. If God had wanted it to have a sofa and electricity inside, he could have done that. Okay? It's not a problem for God. We're talking here about the creator of the universe, which is precisely the point of the story. And so if you want to know the key point for today, students, start out with the fact that you cannot outrun Almighty God. You cannot outrun Almighty God. Look at this story. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. The God who created all things sends Jonah to Nineveh. And Jonah doesn't want to go. We'll find out later in the book why he doesn't want to go. But he doesn't want to go. And so when he does not want to do what God is telling him to do, he comes up with an alternate plan. And his alternate plan is he's going to run away from God. Look, verse 10. They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. Running away from the Lord. Where would you go? If I ascend to the highest mountain, Lord, you are there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you are there. There is no place on this planet or off this planet that you can escape from the presence of the Creator of all things. God very literally created everything. He created everything. He didn't just sort of make a world out of existing matter. Matter was created by God. God created everything. All the stars in every galaxy, everything that exists was created by Him. So where are you going to run away from Him? I mean, try to picture how insane it is to try and outrun God. Have you ever seen a little kid try and overpower their parents? Have you ever seen that? I've had kids try to do that. And what you will discover is that your parents have longer legs than you do. Okay? And your parents take four steps and they're back up with you. So, we're dealing with the infinite, almighty, omnipresent, omniscient God. He knows everything. He is everywhere. He has all power. What in the world are we thinking when we think we can get away? God is infinite. We are very finite. We are limited. God is unlimited. The only thing God cannot do is violate His character. He'll always be true to Himself. I've heard that you know, if God can do anything, can He make a rock so big that He cannot lift it? No,
because that would violate his character. If he created something that was too big for him to lift, it would be in contradiction to who he is, which is almighty. Okay? So that's not a clever question. That's a very stupid sophomoric question, suitable only for perverse little eight-year-olds. Okay? Which is why it astounds me that people in college sometimes come up with that. I'm thinking, did you even go to high school? You're not being clever. The infinite God, the creator of all things, gives Jonah a command. Go to Nineveh and preach against it. And Jonah doesn't want to go, so he disobeys. Now, in this passage, God sends Jonah, verse 1. God sends a great wind when Jonah doesn't do what he's told. And that wind kicks up a storm that just gets worse and worse and worse until Jonah's thrown in the water, and then the storm dies down. The water becomes calm. The wind becomes calm. And then God sends a great fish. So God sent a prophet who wouldn't cooperate, but the weather did, and the fish did, because the fact of the matter is, God rules the universe. Well, if the great fish had to obey him, and if the weather has to obey him, why doesn't Jonah have to obey him? Well, Jonah did have to obey him. But in God's dealings with man, he has deliberately given people the opportunity to oppose him in a way that nature does not. In a way that the forces of darkness do, but only as much as God allows. Is Satan opposed to God? Yes. But he can't do anything without God allowing him to do it. When he wants to demolish Job's life, he has to get permission. Even those forces that are opposed to God are limited in their opposition by what God allows. And God uses even evil that is done deliberately by people in order to accomplish his purposes. Now, Jonah could have been turned around and forced to go to Nineveh. But that's not God's method. God could do that. He absolutely could do that. He has the power and he has the authority. But it's not the way he chooses to operate. The sovereign Lord chooses to give people choices. And Jonah made a bad choice. How many of you have made bad choices? So he made a bad choice. And God didn't just say, which he could have, oh, I'll use somebody else. He could have said that. But no, he wanted to use Jonah. And so he turned Jonah around, in a manner of speaking, but it took a little while, and it took some other characters along the way, including the storm. Someone observed, when you want to run away from God, there will always be a boat available. Jonah ran away from the Lord, verse 3, and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. There will always be a way to do what you want to do. You can always find a way. But it doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. There will always be a way for you to try and do your own thing, but that doesn't mean that it's going to turn out the way you hoped. Because he paid the fare, and he got on board, and he sailed for Tarshish, but he didn't make it to Tarshish, did he? His journey was interrupted. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. What in the world does that mean? Well, there are many gods. They're not real gods. They're false gods. But people worship and serve all kinds of things. Whatever you are devoted to as supremely important is a god to you. And you can end up in demonic bondage by serving created things instead of the Creator. That is the condition of most people. The Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians that those who worship idols, he says, an idol is nothing in and of itself, but those who worship idols are actually worshiping demons, because there are demons behind the idols. There are very real spirits that enslave people spiritually. And if you refuse to worship the one who is God, you will end up worshiping and serving something that is less than God. And all these sailors had their own little gods, and they cried out to him, and those gods couldn't do a thing for them. Not a thing. Because there is only one God who is truly God. He is the Lord. And so the storm grew worse. They threw the cargo overboard. This is how they make their living, is transporting stuff. They're not going to get a paycheck on the other end. But they are terrified, trying to save their own lives. Jonah, meanwhile, is in a deep sleep below deck. I mean, the captain says to him, "How can you sleep?" I would submit to you that when you try to run away from God, you can become incredibly dull, horribly insensitive to what is going on, blind and useless, dead to the world. And that was Jonah's condition. He's below deck, sound asleep, in the midst of a life-threatening storm. This is not because he is so serene spiritually. It is because he is desperately trying to shut out the world. So he's in a deep sleep. And the captain says, "Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Now please notice that phrase. Maybe he will take notice of us. Here the perception of the captain is, apparently, the gods don't know the situation we're in. The reality is, the situation they're in is by God's design. You and I sometimes think that God doesn't know what's going on, and we try and explain it to him. "God, please look. Do you see what's happening to me?" God says, "See what's happening to you? I'm orchestrating it." Okay? We think, you know, God ought to pay attention. God says, "Believe me, I know how many hairs are on top of your head right now. Do you?" "Well, no. No, not really." God says, "I know all about your situation. Not only that, I know what's coming next." "Whoa. I don't." You're right, you don't. But God does take notice of us. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from his notice. But the captain is saying, "Call on your God and maybe he'll take notice. Maybe he'll see what's going on." God sees what's going on. Don't ever doubt it. God knows exactly what's going on. When we pray, we don't need to inform God of what's up. We need to come to him and surrender. Say, "Lord, I'm yours. You're in charge. I worship you." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let's cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Don't you know Jonah was really enjoying this process? Okay? They're casting lots, and Jonah's thinking, "You might, you put away the lots, it's me. I know it's me." told you before about the time I was camping with my buddy in Carolina, one of my friends. We went camping together in we were in an old Army surplus tent from our Boy Scout troop. Horrible storm came up. It was pouring down rain. The tent started to leak. Water was starting to gather in the bottom of the sleeping bag, or in the bottom of the tent, and it was getting into the sleeping bags. Sleeping bags were made of down, and that's just, you know, I mean, it was horrible. And so I said, well, I'm going to pray, and I asked the Lord to please cause the storm to stop, and it got worse. And so I prayed some more, and I said, Father, I don't understand. We're trying to have a nice night up here camping on the side of the mountain, and the storm's getting worse, and I'm asking you to please make it stop. Please, Lord, make the rain stop. More. And I said, I don't understand. And my friend said, cast me out of the tent. It's good to hang out with people who know their Bible. The lot fell on Jonah. What does that mean? Well, it's kind of like rolling dice, but here's the deal. The point of casting lots, and I'm not recommending that now in the New Covenant we need to go back to this. I'm simply telling you, this is a reminder that what is seemingly random is actually under God's sovereign control. What is seemingly random is actually under God's sovereign control. When our first child was born, the genetics counseling people at Children's Hospital in Boston wanted to meet with us to explain that the odds of our having another child with spina bifida had just gone from being 1 in 500 live births to being 1 in 25 or 22 or something like that, 20-something. Well, that's a huge change statistically. And I said to the genetics counselor, thank you very much for telling us the results of your research, but I need for you to know that we do not believe our child is the product of chance. The Bible teaches us that our son with spina bifida was knit together in his mother's womb by God Almighty. And God has a plan for his life and for ours. If you think that your life is just the result of random chance, you don't understand how the universe operates. God is sovereignly working out his plan and his purpose for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Doesn't say that everything works out for the best for everybody. It doesn't. Works out for the destruction of those who are God's enemies. But those who are adopted into his family, who are made his own through rebirth, works out for our good. Works out for our good. Every time. Even things that seem like disaster, God is working for our good. So, they cast lots, fell on Jonah. They started asking him questions. I mean, peppered him. Verse 9, as he's answering, kind of puts it all in perspective. He says, I'll tell you what you need to know. I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land. In other words, everything. What is there besides sea and land? Well, air, okay. He made that too. This terrified them. They didn't say, oh good, so you have a connection with the Almighty? They said, oh no, what have you done? You're trying to run away from the God who created everything? That's not smart. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. They said, what should we do to you? He said, throw me in the sea. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Don't overlook that phrase. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Did you know that you and I can make choices that affect other people? And that other people can suffer as a result of our bad decisions? Don't think, well, it's my life, I can do what I want. No man is an island. If you do stupid stuff, it's not just going to mess your life up, it's going to impact other people. Don't be a selfish nitwit. realize that you will impact others by the decisions that you make. So the men, instead of doing what he said, throwing him in the water, did their best to row back to land. But they couldn't. And the sea grew even wilder than before. So they cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." They actually recognized that there is a God who is sovereign and who avenges the bloodshed that is rampant in the earth. And they say, "Lord, this is not one of those cases. You're the one who's making us do this. Please don't punish us for throwing this man overboard." And then they took him and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. Jonah is doing ministry even while he's trying to run away from God. Because when these men see the reality of God's power and the truth of his sovereignty, they worship him. God grant that we would. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. God willing, tomorrow we're going to pick up there and talk about life inside the fish. How'd you like to be in a fish? We'll talk about it. But I want to ask you a question. As you look at this story, does it occur to you that sometimes you try and run away from what God's telling you? God tells you, do this. And you say, "I don't want to do that." And so you try and go the other way. That is stupid behavior. I'm being kind. It is stupid to try to outrun God. It is a very foolish thing. You can't outrun God. All you can do is slow down the process so that you and potentially others end up in a mess because you didn't just go ahead and do what God said. Do what God says. What are you afraid of? We're going to see. I'll give you a preview. Jonah's great fear was that God would once again show himself merciful. That's what he was afraid of. He knew enough about God to know that God is merciful. And that was upsetting to him. How stupid is that? It wasn't that he was afraid God was going to be unkind. It was that he was afraid God wasn't going to do what he wanted. There is a God, and we're not him. Okay? There is a God. He has all power, all authority. He's totally in control. He knows the details. He takes notice of us. He sees what's going on. He's in control of what's going on. And he's merciful. Don't resist him. Don't try and run from him. You cannot outrun God. You cannot outrun God. You cannot outrun God. What do you want him to have to do in order to bring you to your knees? I mean, really? Jonah tried to run away. Didn't get very far. What'll it take? What will it take for you to come to the point of surrender? Say, "Lord, I'm yours. I am yours. I'll do whatever you say." You're not surrendering to a cruel ogre. You're surrendering to a loving Father who always tells the truth, always does what's right, and loves you more than you can imagine. Don't be afraid to simply obey. But if I obey him, I may not get what I want. Well, it turns out what he wants is better. It's better. It really is. But okay. Good. Surrendering to the Lord is not a tragic, I have no choice. Surrendering to the Lord is the smartest thing you'll ever do. It's wisdom. And it turns out it is joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus so that everything that we have messed up could be washed away and we could have eternal life with you. We pray that you would bind our heart to you and grant us true faith to trust and obey. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.